X5. Number 6B.
Now, if we try to find a common denominator for this vertical, you get the feeling, if we look over our epitomes, we just get the flow of it again. We said in creation, just read them again what we had in order to get the flow. Mortals must let themselves be used by good instead of evil. So we get the sense of using good. If we want to get rid of evil, we should not fight evil, but use good. So not to let ourselves be used by evil. That if we demonstrate really the somethingness of good, that this takes care of the nothingness of evil. And in order to demonstrate that somethingness of God, good, we naturally should, in the next chapter, deny that God, good, is in any way mixed up with evil and is involved in evil, that it has nothing to do with that whole thing of evil, and that therefore, if we consciously avail ourselves of the good, that we bring really evil to fall, that makes evil to disappear, it causes evil to disappear. One gets really the feeling of Christianity, which says now, you watch yourself, that you yourself demonstrate really the superiority of good over evil. So we perhaps can put that into the third vertical, say, to demonstrate the superiority of good, to demonstrate the superiority of good over evil. All right? So we come to the last vertical, science. They really have most references there. Exactly when we come to the science chapter, we find it full of references. They start with the chapter teaching Christian Science, and it has to do, so to say, now with the proving that evil is nothing. Science is that which proves evil to be nothing. And so the question is, how on earth can we go about in order to prove that evil is nothing? Up to now we have only seen that we have superiority, and practicing the superiority of good, we can master evil. Here now, she will tell us that we have to resist and expose and denounce evil, and only in this way we make nothing of evil and prove the nothingness of evil. That chapter is full of this appeal, so to say, to the Christian Scientist to really resist the claims of evil. It says, resisting evil, you overcome it and prove its nothingness. See, the proof is given through resisting evil. So he has three phases there. Resist evil. If you do it, you overcome it. And as you overcome it, you prove it. It says, expose and denounce the claims of evil. You must demonstrate that evil is unreal. Evil which the heart condemns, they have the condemnation, has no foundation. Can you see how you prove nothingness? If your heart condemns it, then it cannot enter in. Evil uncondemned is undenied and nurtured. Do not congratulate yourself upon your blindness of evil. The Christian Scientist has enlisted to lessen evil. We must open the eyes of the students to any subtle degree of evil. Can you hear this terrific appeal to take a definite stand, to resist evil, to claim the good, to condemn evil in your heart, and it cannot do anything, and that only through that active stand you really prove the nothingness of evil. Just as we have said yesterday, that the answer, where does evil come, where does mortal mind come from, that this cannot be answered in any other way than to draw closer and closer to God and prove by demonstration that you are no more asking that question. You remember what Mrs. Eddy said that yesterday? So here you have that in teaching Christian Science very well laid out or presented, namely, perhaps this is what we can write down as an epitome: by resisting, comma, exposing, comma, denouncing evil, the nothingness of evil can be proved. Is that clear, you see? There is no way of reasoning, in a human way, of reasoning away the claim of evil. It always, just always go back, where does it come from? Where does it come from? The only thing is that we take an active stand for good, and then we prove that there is no evil. We don't reason it out, we prove it. Yes. In the epitome, yes. The nothingness of evil can be proved. Yes. But then you can ask yourself, you see, when you see, well, we have to resist and expose and denounce evil so that it has no place within us, that it has no abiding place within us, then we can say, but what is needed in order to be able to do that? And so recapitulation comes along and says, you know, you can do that when you see really that God, good, is really the all in all, and therefore in that all in all there is no room for evil. So it disposes of evil. So there we get the scientific explanation in which way we should work. Recapitulation gives us, so to say, the method of treatment, and says, fill your thought with God, the all in all, and that disposes of the question of evil. He says in recapitulation, the science of mind disposes of all evil. See, completely different than, say, in the Christianity chapters, where it was always that by demonstrating the good, we demonstrate the good, we really can overcome evil. Here it is, the science of mind disposes of all evil. It says the principle of science destroys all evil. There is no place where God is not, and evil becomes nothing. In God, omnipresence, omnipotence, there is no other power called evil. Can you hear how here in that chapter recapitulation she really falls back to the wholeness of God and says that the all-in-all of God disposes of the claim of evil. If God is real, evil is unreal. Quite a different aspect again. Actually, afterwards we can take such an epitome and instead of saying God disposes of all evil, we can do what we have done yesterday at the end of the session. Instead of God, we can take the whole word order and see love disposes of all evil, truth disposes of all evil, life disposes of all evil, principle disposes of all evil, soul, spirit, mind disposes of all evil. We naturally have the right afterwards to elaborate on such laws through the seven synonymous terms, and that makes then such a statement a treatment. Treatment is if we can elaborate on a law and take a law and see its implication in practical application, and that therefore we can always take the seven synonymous term and elaborate on such a law. All right, so we haven't made an epitome yet for chapter 14. Perhaps we could say, God, good, the all in all. God, good, the all in all, disposes of all evil. Disposes of all evil. I'm always amazed, you know, I get a kick out of these matrices when I do such an investigation. They are always my happiest hours, which I spend in my office. Usually I have to work all those administrative and organizational work and so on, two things. But those hours where one can really take a spiritual subject and see how the subject flows, it just makes me enormously happy. Think of it, that we would have said, if somebody was telling us something about evil and about the power of evil, I think the very first answer we would have said is that, you know, my dear, I never say that, but that's how the English say it. I would say, you know, I can't say it really, but that's what I hear. So you know, God disposes of all evil. That would have been perhaps my first answer. Here it is, the 14th answer. The 14th. All the 13 before are a great preparation to bring us to the point where we can let God dispose of all evil, where we can let it happen. But if we only say, you know, God disposes of all evil, and in the patient there is no desire that he wants to get free of it, what does it do? You know? He likes to be freed from the inharmonious results of liking evil. He likes evil. He only wants not to have the inharmonious effect of it. So, what's the use of saying to him, all right, you know, God Almighty is such a jolly good fellow, you know, he really will dispose of all your evils. And so the patient said, now that's it. That I like to pay for that, you know, that's something worthwhile. But if we would start and say, now, look here, do you really want to be delivered from evil, from your evil desires, from your evil inclinations? Do you really want to get rid of that? That's another proposition. And if he wants that, you see, then the 14th chapter has power. Isn't it terrific? How she, step by step, just gently builds up that whole scene, you know, until finally, at the end of the textbook, she just can show, now God is going to take care of it. She comes to Genesis, and in the chapter on Genesis, we have in the first part of the chapter on Genesis, on the first record of creation, actually no mentioning of that, because the first chapter on Genesis does not mention any evil. So all the references are in the second part, in the second record of creation. And there it's quite interesting how, therefore, there she says, how the divine law really exterminates scientifically the belief in evil. How? By reducing it to its nothingness. That whole second record really shows the step-by-step dismantling of the belief of evil until nothing is left, until they are cast out into the land of naught, of nothingness, into the foreign land. They are no more in God, so that there is no evil anymore in God. So that through seven steps in the second record of creation, evil is gently reduced step-by-step to its nothingness. So we can perhaps write down here that the divine law exterminates scientifically the belief in evil and reduces it to nothingness, and reduces it to its nothingness. Then again, we have the last chapter, Apocalypse. And in that chapter, Apocalypse, she just shows that if we understand good, that that means that evil destroys itself. We have there the whole story of the serpent that becomes a great red dragon and that it cast out from heaven, and there it was destroyed. That she says that sin must be scientifically and Christianly be reduced to its native nothingness, and all these things is in Apocalypse. Apocalypse is always the a culmination, a climax for the whole textbook. So we can write there, by understanding good, evil is self-destroyed. All right. Now, if we look over those four last chapters and try to find a common denominator, we feel that here she would always show that science gives us the proof of the nothingness of evil. But how is that proof brought about? That proof is brought about that we prove good, and proving good means proving evil as nothing. So in order to prove evil as nothing, we have to prove that good is the all in all, so to say. Therefore, in a short epitome, perhaps we can state it there on the vertical of science. We could say that by proving good, evil is disproved. By proving good, evil is disproved. So we have the nothingness of evil. Yeah. If we now consider what we have written on the index I, on the top, those verticals, we would have, so to say, the backbone of handling evil. We would now see in an even reduced form the method of handling evil. It would say in the first column, the very first thing is that we must master evil. That there must be a very, very definite decision within us which says, let's have a good go at evil and let's master evil. Let's not leave evil alone so that it is nurtured, but let's have a good go at evil and handle evil. The second column would show that truth will be the power to take care of that. That evil is powerless. We would have to see that. If we see that as a second, you see, then we see, all right, we don't have to fight against an existing power, but that the existing power is truth and that evil is powerless. When I see that, then I lose my fear of evil. And I see, because it has no power, I don't need to fear it. So how can I handle it? And the Christianity vertical would say, all right, you know, therefore if evil has no power, then truth has a greater power. Good has therefore superiority over evil. You feel now, because evil has no power, you can put evil under the supremacy of good, and you say, all right, what you should do in handling evil is not to handle evil, but really to demonstrate good. And in demonstrating good, you handle evil. And finally, in the last column, we see that in doing what the Christianity column says us to do, that we give the proof of the nothingness of evil. That we can only prove the nothingness of evil by proving the somethingness of good. So that again we have a sense, how can I prove that evil is nothing? Only by proving good. I cannot discuss it away and reason it away. The only thing I can do is by living and proving that God, good, is all in all, and that disposes of the claim of evil. That disposes, so to say, of the question of evil, asking what is evil, where does evil come from. It disposes of it and shows that it is reduced to nothingness, to no more be a question, no more arise as a question. That is my nothingness. So for me, evil is only then nothing when I don't ask anymore the question of evil, when the question of evil is no more an important question, when it becomes irrelevant. All right. If we take this matrix, we still should have to see, do the horizontals here, the horizontal index give us a common denominator. And if we take, for instance, in the word, as an epitome in the word, the proposition to reject evil, the proposition, you can write there, the proposition to reject evil, then you see that you have there all the propositions, how to reject evil. First you have the desire in prayer to reject evil. In animal magnetism we reject evil, we despoil the kingdom of evil by science, through the power of science. In creation we reject evil by not letting it in. The moment it comes to the door we put it out and say, I'm not going to let myself be used by evil. And in the chapter teaching Christian Science, I reject evil by resisting, exposing and denouncing evil and making nothing of evil. If we take the second, Christ, there we see that we must bring evil to disappear. To bring evil to disappear. How do we do that? And if we go through those chapters, we see in atonement by obeying the command to cast out evil. Then you just can read what you have there. You don't have to read to write down anything anymore. How can we bring evil to disappear? Then by letting the power of truth cast out evil. In the signs of being, by demonstrating the somethingness of good we had there, and in recapitulation, by seeing that the allness of God disproves that evil can be something. In Christianity, we have the destruction of evil. How do we bring about the destruction of evil? And we read it quickly by giving ascendancy to good. Then in physiology, by letting evil destroy itself, again the destruction sense. In objections answer, by denying that God is involved in evil. And then there in Genesis, by letting evil be reduced scientifically to its nothingness. So there you have really the best sense of destruction, namely that you don't have to hammer on something, but the destruction is the reduction, the step-by-step reduction to seeing that it is not a claim. That happens then in our understanding. And finally, the last is understanding, the last horizontal is understanding delivers from evil. Understanding delivers from evil. And you just can read that horizontal line again where you see that understanding God keeps evil in check. Then in Footsteps of Truth we see that understanding of the nothingness of evil makes evil powerless. It delivers us. In Christian Science practice, by availing ourselves of God, of good, God causes evil again to disappear, And finally, in the Apocalypse, that by understanding God, evil is self-destroyed. We have a great sense that understanding is that which does the trick. All right. Actually, I have been hurrying now at the end, because that's something, that whole chart or matrix is now something each one can just pore over it and see its relationships and its implications. Okay.